Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy John, engineering and producing our program. We are off and running. Where is the time gone? It's already December the 19th. So here we go. It's Christmas week. Well, technically Christmas, yeah, the lead up to Christmas, because Christmas is Sunday, but it's Christmas week. It's the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio, which is part of the Bustos Media Tucson broadcast complex in Tucson. Our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. The Monday political face-off this week features Shelley Keiss, seated to my right, one-time congressional candidate, current chair of the Pima County Republican Party, and still or outgoing Continental School Board district member. Outgoing?
Yes.
Outgoing.
Yes. So, but I'm there until December 31st in case they need me.
Okay. You are of service. And Shelley, it's always great to see you.
Great to see you,
Bill. And Brian Bickle is here. Brian's treasurer of the Pima County Democratic Party. He ran for Pima County Supervisor in District 1 in 2016. He ran for Pima County Treasurer in 2020. In fact, one television station declared you the winner, didn't they, Brian?
Yeah, they're boo-boo.
Yeah, they're boo-boo. But you were thinking, oh, my goodness, I'm going to be the Pima County Treasurer. And then it didn't happen. But whatever, right?
Right.
How are things going? You ready for Christmas?
Life goes on. Life is good. Every time you go from horizontal to vertical, it's great.
That sure is. Shelley, are you ready for Christmas?
I'm not quite ready yet, but I'm getting close, and I'm certainly getting excited.
Hey, both of you were involved over in the week, the weekend on the hand count, right, Brian?
I was.
Well, tell us what that was all about.
Well, you know, we had a very of extremely close attorney general's race statewide.
Within what, 500
511 votes, I believe, was
Chris
the margin.
Mays, the and leader,
then
yeah.
The superintendent of public instructions race, even though Kathy Hoffman conceded, was still within the margin for a recount. So we did a recount last week on those two races, and then this past Saturday was the hand count audit of the recount, and a lot easier than the hand count on our other, yeah, the hand count audit on the general election, which took us all day long. But this one, because we were just auditing two races, I thought went very well. We had a little bit of a glitch. I actually found a vote for Abe Hamady. So
We actually found three.
Wow.
We actually found three votes for Abe Hamady out of 2% of the votes. So that's, if you're Abe Hamady, that's pretty encouraging.
Mm-hmm.
If you only need 511.
But we don't know about the rest of the state or?
Not yet.
So when do we know?
I believe it's the 22nd, which is Thursday,
right,
that they're going to release the results of the hand count or the, of the recount.
And the lawsuits that are going on, is that mainly have to do with the Kerry Lake gubernatorial race?
Well,
Shelley, could you kind of give us the overview of that?
Well, Kerry's got a lawsuit out that's very interesting. It's got some real interesting points in it that if you've ever had an interest in law, it's worth reading. And there are certainly concerns about what happened in Maricopa County. We just can't discount that. And the fact that all of a sudden all these machines go down on election day, when the one thing we've been hearing across the state is Republicans should hold on their ballot and vote on election day. And then even statistically in primarily Republican voting locations. So that's an issue. But remember, Abe's got a lawsuit as well. So Abe will be going, he will be going in for his lawsuit, I think, is on Thursday and Friday, I believe. Yeah.
Hmm.
So we've still got a lot going on here in Arizona. We're not done with this yet. And so we'll see. And remember, we've got the precedent of 1916. You know, when you go back and you look at, I believe it was Hunt and Campbell, and what happened there was actually a block at the top that you could check all Democrat or all Republican, and but then people changed votes down ballot, and so we're just not done with this yet. But we did get good news for Abe Hamady, I would say.
So just going back to 1916, the Republican became the governor after the Democrat had been declared the winner. Is that the way that worked?
Yeah, that's the way it worked. And I believe the Democrat wouldn't leave. So and the treasurer wouldn't write checks for the Republican who was operating out of his home, I believe, is how it went.
The Monday Political Face-Out presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. We love Moe and his family. They do such a great job. They've been in business since 1985. They specialize in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture hanging, a picture framing and hanging. In fact, one of my Facebook friends posted a picture of Moe up on a ladder. Glad it was him and not me, but he was up on a ladder and he was making sure everything was the way that the customer wanted. I mean, it's that's kind of dangerous when you're up on a ladder, as many of our listeners probably know. You fall off a ladder, that can be a big problem. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. What did we learn, Brian Bickle, do you think, from this election as you kind of reflect back on it?
Don't presume anything until it's all over with. The Democratic Party of Pima County had an election night watch party here, and LD-17, which is probably one of the most contentious LDs in the state from a redistricting perspective, at least as far as we were concerned. We had a lot of candidates getting real excited about the fact that they thought they were winning, and I said, guys, it's too early to tell. And that race shifted back and forth several times before the Republican candidates made a clean sweep of it. So it's, you know, trying to figure out what's going to happen based on what happened in the past is risky business right now. It's just things are too unpredictable and they change. And I think the parties, both the Republican Party and the Democratic Party, get strategic changes from election to election that affect the way the ballots, not the way they're counted, but the timeliness of the tabulation at various times. You know, the Democrats have pretty consistently told people to get on the early voting list and mail your ballot in. And the Republicans have traditionally been polling place voters, and sometimes that works and sometimes it doesn't. So, I wouldn't count any eggs until I knew we were completely done. And unfortunately, that takes a lot longer than a lot of people would like. But, we counted every ballot during the recount, and understanding that early ballots can be counted up to 10 days before election day, or you can start counting them then. But since we were counting for the recount, we had no write-ins to worry about, no duplications to worry about, none of the problems that you encounter during a regular election. It still took us 2.5 days to count all the ballots.
Did you count every ballot?
Every ballot. In Pima County, yeah.
Not by the hand count. No. We ran them back through the tabulation machines.
But using the tabulation machines, it took 2.5 days.
Shelley, what have we learned from this election?
Well, I don't know if you read my chairman's journal this morning, but I said the one thing we learned is that there's no such thing as an election day.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the big thing. The way we do elections in Arizona, we can't determine the winner when our country is basically split 50-50. Mm-hmm. We're always going to have these close elections. And even after we certify the canvas, as we've done in Pima County, as we've done at the state, even after that, we've got ongoing lawsuits. And again, going back to reference 1916, even after we swear people in office, that doesn't mean that we're not going to still see a turnover here. So we've got real issues. We've got a lot of work to do in Arizona, because this is pretty embarrassing that states like Florida were able to announce their winners by 10 or 11 o'clock at night, and Arizona really didn't announce their winner until December 5th, I think, when when the Secretary of State certified the canvas. And then we've still got lawsuits going on, so we really don't know.
Florida has some different laws than Arizona, right? About early voting.
That's correct.
Yeah. The cutoff is different.
That's correct.
Cutoff day.
And that makes a huge difference.
And I wonder if that will come up with the legislature.
It could very well.
At this new session.
But, you know, we're still in a really contentious position because we have a 16-14 Senate and a 31-29 House. And even if, let's say that all 31 of our Republican representatives hung tight and the 16 senators hung tight and they put some legislation forward and sent it up, right now it looks like we've got a Democrat governor and we don't have the supermajority to overturn it. So this is politics 101. And you know, here we are sitting in a position that's very difficult for everybody. And if you're a candidate thinking about running for office, you have to develop a strategy that is going to endure all of these crises that we've seen over this past election.
It might discourage people from running. What do you think, Brian? No?
I don't know that it would discourage people from running. I think by the time somebody's made a decision to run, they've thought about it long and hard. It's the casual candidate that says, gee, you know, when Gabby Giffords was shot and we went into the Ron Barber election and the Martha McSally battles with him and Ron decided to retire, or McSally became a senator, and that race became an open seat. I mean, there were a half a dozen people, me being one of them, that toyed with the idea of running for that seat. And, you know, early on, that's an easy thing to do. I think the closer you get to Election Day and the rubber meeting the road, where you're really going to have to come up with a campaign and a strategy that's going to give you at least a chance to win. People figure out there's a whole lot more to this process than they thought when they first got going, and it's not an easy road to hoe, that's for sure.
Before we talk about Moe's Danish Bakery, which we've been looking forward to because everybody wants to talk about Moe's, the cinema decision, Brian Bickle, what's the feeling you're hearing among Democrats about her decision to now be, well, re-register as an independent?
It's kind of a mixed bag. I mean, there's a lot of people that think it's about time. She really wasn't a Democrat, or she didn't vote democratically a significant portion of the time anyway, so she's out of the party. I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens
with Gallego
in 2024. Oh, Ruben's going to run.
He's running.
Oh, yeah. The concern personally that I have about Gallego is he's in a district that he doesn't have to do anything to win. He's never run a competitive campaign. I mean, when you're consistently winning your seat 80-20, and you get into a statewide race where you're running for a Senate seat that's going to be critically close, unless it's a three-way race.
No, if it's three-way, yeah.
We're looking at a Republican senator.
That's sure.
That's the way the cookie crumbles.
What do you think, Shell?
Well, I wasn't all that surprised to see her do it. She's still going to caucus with the Democrats, though, to say, you know, she may be out of the party, but she came right out and said she's going to caucus with the Democrats. So that's not any big change. She's an independent. She's always been an independent. The Democrats knew that when they elected her, so I'm not surprised by any of that. But I do think that when we have a three-way run, which we are going to have, I do think that it is advantageous to the Republicans. And so we know that, and so we're looking forward to 2024. Maybe, we're looking forward to taking that seat.
Maybe she won't run. There's always that possibility. She may get some kind of a administration job. I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there.
That would be a huge surprise to me.
Yeah.
You know, people in her position, people in Ruben's position, they're up and comers, and they're hard chargers, and To step out of public office as an elected official into an administrative role.
Yeah, that's pretty far-fetched, isn't it?
Yeah.
One thing that's not far-fetched is Mona's Danish Bakery, Shelley and Brian. They are very much geared up for the holiday. We brought a Danish Kringle into the station on Friday. John, I'm sorry you missed it. John was not engineering and producing for me on Friday, but I'll tell you this, it went very, very fast. And everybody loved it. Why not? How about a Danish Kringle on Christmas Eve morning? That sounds pretty darn good to me. Or Christmas Day morning, or even the day after, which is commonly referred to in some parts of the world as Boxing Day and is a holiday in some of the former, United Kingdom and some of the former United Kingdom possessions. People celebrate the day after Christmas. So anyway, Danish Bakery, Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise. Their website, monasdanishbakery.com. Put in your order now for your Kringle, or how about your order like we'll be doing for our Christmas pie for dessert? Something tells me it will be a cherry pie from Mona's for Christmas dessert. We'll be right back on the Buckmaster Show, our Monday face-off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
Have you always wanted to cruise to Alaska? If that's the case, then you'll only see the tip of the iceberg. At Bon Voyage Travel, we can package the full Alaska experience with a cruise tour. Journey to Denali National Park on glass-domed rail cars. Tour the tundra wilderness and see the northern lights with an expert guide. And of course, relax on your cruise as you enjoy the glaciers up close and personal. Go to bvtravel.com today. Bon Voyage Travel, your Alaska experts.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Kate Delaney. Tune in later tonight as we talk about everything that happened throughout your day. Tonight at 10 on 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, the Monday Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe specializes in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, and Moe will come out to your home, make sure everything is up on the wall. You want it. He'll go up on the ladder so you don't have to. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. This just in, the House January 6th committee voted unanimously at the end of its final public meeting today to approve its historic final report on the Capitol riot and criminal referrals for former President Donald Trump and others. The committee referred Trump to the Justice Department for obstructing an official proceeding, defrauding the United States, making false statements, giving aid or comfort to an insurrection, the panel said Monday. Before we hear what Brian Bickle and Shelley Keiss have to say about that, caller Bruce has a comment on that announcement. Go ahead, Bruce.
Well, hi. I do want to give a shout out to Mona's Bakery's Danish Kringle. My gosh, it is the best.
Thank you.
You will not go wrong with that. Now, the DOJ, looking over the 2020 and 2022 elections, noticed their election fraud division says that if there was any question that was about voting integrity, Democrats would win 5 out of 6 times.
All right. Shelley, what's your take on what you've just heard?
Well, I think that I don't look at things myopically, and that's just one piece. Like, what I'm going to look at is the complete picture. And what we look at right now is this Department of Justice, this FBI, is wrought with fraud and corruption. Our government, we are losing confidence in our government, and this referral of President Trump to the Department of Justice is just going to create absolute chaos, and it is nothing more than political kabuki theater being put on by the Biden administration.
And just because there is a referral doesn't mean there will be charges. Is that correct?
That's correct. That's correct.
Okay, Brian, what's your take?
Probably the same thing as Shelley's, just flip it back 4 years. We felt it was the same kind of political theater during the Trump administration, and from what we've heard about the slim margin in the House as they take over a significant portion of government, it's going to turn into kabuki theater again in Washington, D.C., which, you know, from a citizen's perspective, regardless of the party, I think that's unfortunate. It would be nice to get back to the business of governing the country again, regardless of who's in charge.
And if I can say, Brian was at the same place I was on Saturday. And you know what we saw? We saw a bunch of people in red vest, blue vest, and gold vest doing the work of democracy, going through and finding if, in fact, there were votes that should have been counted or not counted. And, you know, I think maybe we should all go back and remember in 1914, the Christmas truce. And we've never seen anything like that again. And I don't think we're seeing anything like that in what's going on in our government. And to speak to the point, it is the citizen that is getting harmed in all of this. And it's time for us to go ahead and start sending people into office who are pragmatic and are doing what is best for the people of the United States, for the citizens of the United States, the people that they represent. and, you know, making a referral to the Department of Justice when what we're seeing through the FBI and what we have seen through these Twitter download files, a corrupt FBI and a corrupt Department of Justice. This is just an embarrassment. We are becoming a global embarrassment. And I think it just has to stop. And let's go back and remember the Christmas truce. Let's move to do what's right for the people of America and stop this craziness.
That's a great movie. If people haven't seen it, it's called Noël. It is in French. There are English subtitles, but it is about that famous, you know, World War One had been going on. War broke out in August, I believe, of 1914. But the Christmas mm-hmm. truce, both sides said, I've had enough. We're going to play soccer and exchange gifts. And they did. But then the higher up said, oh, time to get back to the killing field. But it's a great movie, Noël. Strongly recommend that movie. Brian, any last words?
Politically, no, but it is the Christmas season. To you and all your viewers, have a very Merry Christmas and a very happy New Year.
Same to you, Brian Bickle. You. Appreciate your service to the show, and same to Shelley, and hope you have a wonderful holiday, Shelley.
Thank you very much. Merry Christmas, Brian. Merry Christmas, Bill. Merry Christmas to all of your listeners.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing wishing everybody a Merry Christmas. Moe at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. We'll take a break right here. Hope everybody sticks with us. We've got Dr. Victoria Mazes from the Center for Integrative Medicine. How do you know if it's the flu, COVID, or RS, that respiratory, V? It can be very difficult to figure it out. We'll be right back.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade. Using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana. Plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show as we kick off Christmas week here in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios, which are part of the Bustos Media Tucson broadcast complex. Green Things certainly ready for the holidays. They've got you covered. They've got your poinsettias. They've got some beautiful gifts, beautiful handcrafted items from Mexico. Some that have caught my eye, the punched tin Christmas trees, the Talavera pottery lamps, beautiful things at Green Things and Zocalo Village, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. They're open daily. They've been in business 52 years. Their website, greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. When we do our live line telephone interviews, like we are about to do, those interviews presented by our friends at Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. The Buckmaster Show contributor on health is Dr. Victoria Mazes, the Executive Director of the Andrew Weil Center for Integrative Medicine, which is based at the University of Arizona, where Dr. Mazes is a professor of medicine and public health and internationally recognized as a leader in integrative medicine. She is committed to helping individuals lead healthier lives and in pioneering change efforts that solve the American healthcare system problems. Dr. Mazes is editor of the Oxford University textbook, Integrative Women's Health, and the author of Be Fruitful, The Essential Guide to Maximizing Fertility and Giving Birth to a Healthy Child. You can hear more about her on her podcast that she co-hosts with Dr. Andrew Weil. The podcast is titled Body of Wonder. You can also follow her on Twitter at VMazes, Twitter is Dr. Mazes, or you can find her at azcim.org. Dr. Mazes, how are you?
I am doing well, thank you.
Are you all ready for the holidays?
I am. I'm really looking forward to it. I'm spoiled. Your listeners will need to know that the University of Arizona, where I'm on faculty, shuts down from Friday the 23rd until January 2nd. So I'm really looking forward to 11 days off.
Wow. That is wonderful. That now,
yes,
one of the big challenges for you and all of us is to stay healthy. After all, we have three different viruses, don't we, circulating?
It is so true. And I'm sure everyone has a little nagging worry about this because, of course, we have COVID still. And during the pandemic, there are people who caught COVID during their gatherings. So that's one. And then we have what is really typical this time of year, which is influenza or the flu. And then we have a third that people may not know quite as well because it's usually in children. It's RSV or respiratory syncytial virus. And right now we have all three of them that are just really making waves at the exact same time.
Well, one of the challenges, Dr. Mazes, is if someone does get sick, how do you figure out what indeed you have?
Yeah, it's a great question. And these three viruses are actually pretty similar. They're all respiratory viruses, and they have very similar symptoms. They almost all produce a cough, and they have a sore throat, you know, more often in COVID and if you have, you know, a cold, but sometimes when you have the flu and occasionally when you have RSV. So they really can have similar symptoms. If you're really sick, your doctor can tell you which one. And actually, this just happened to my little granddaughter. She had a very high fever, almost 105, and she was, you know, coughing and not feeling well. And my daughter brought her into the doctor who did a nasal swab that tested for all three viruses. And so they were able to say that this little girl, she's 9 months old, that she had the flu and not RSV and not COVID. So that can actually help because it gives you a sense of what's causing the illness. And also there are different treatments for these three different illnesses, especially in adults.
Are you saying that one swab, you can tell the difference with the one swab, or do you have to do multiple?
So the doctors have access to a single swab that tests for all three.
Wow.
This is not the same as, like, right now we have home antigen tests. And just to remind listeners that the government has now made available an additional 4 free tests. So, you know, if you haven't ordered them, go to the website, you know, Google free COVID test, and you can get 4 more mailed to your home. But that only tests for COVID. But the swab that they can do either in a clinic or in the emergency department or in the hospital, one single nasal swab tests for all three of these viral illnesses.
And if it isn't any of them, it could be something like maybe a strep throat or maybe a bad cold.
Well, that's right. It doesn't test for everything that could be going on.
There's a separate throat swab
for strep throat, which is also something that can be done. With strep throat, usually you have a terribly painful sore throat, very swollen tonsils, swollen lymph glands in your neck, you know, right at the top of your neck. And if you look at your tonsils, they look kind of gunky, almost like there's cottage cheese on them, and that's kind of classic. But that can also be done, tested with a rapid strep test at your doctor's office. But there's certainly other things, like you said, you could have a simple but, you know, unpleasant cold and not have any of those tests show up positive.
Yeah, I'm just looking at all these symptoms, the cough, difficulty breathing, fatigue, fever, headaches, muscle pain, runny nose, sneezing, sore throat, vomiting, wheezing, and it's pretty much all of them overlap.
They do overlap. But one thing that's really quite different is that when people have the flu, they commonly say something like, I feel like I got hit by a truck.
Yeah.
In other words, it comes on suddenly and intensely. Like you're instantly very sick. Whereas with COVID and also with RSV, it's much more gradual. So with COVID, you may have a little runny nose, a little sore throat, you know, maybe the next day you have a little worse symptoms, or you may have some body aches. So it kind of builds up much more gradually. And RSV actually takes even longer, as much as 6 days for it to fully build up. And one thing that's different about RSV is the wheezing. And that's actually can be quite worrisome in children. And many of your listeners will know that children's wards are full right now with kids who have RSV. And it's thought that that's because during the pandemic, we all did a really good job of keeping some distance, wearing masks, washing our hands, not gathering as much. And so people were protected from some of these infections because they just weren't getting exposed. They weren't spending enough time around other people. And this year, RSV is particularly bad, and particularly bad in children who probably haven't been exposed before, didn't develop any immunity. And so, sadly, we've got a lot of sick kids right now.
So what is the treatment plan?
Well, the treatment plan varies. As people know, viral illnesses are a little trickier than bacterial infections. We've had lots of different kinds of antibiotics for decades. With viruses, we don't have as many options. However, for COVID, we now have an antiviral 2 medicine called Paxlovid, which is an oral medicine that you take for 5 days, and it can reduce significantly the symptoms. Sometimes people get a rebound. That's unpleasant. But still, if you're over a certain age or if you're really sick with COVID, Paxlovid can be a very good option. With the flu, influenza, we also have some antiviral medicines. One of them, for example, is Tamiflu. And that, the sooner you get it, can shorten the duration and the intensity of the symptoms. So that's pretty great that we have a medicine that can be helpful there. And then we do have a medicine for RSV as well called ribavirin. So there are some antiviral medicines for people who are, you know, on the sicker side.
Any conclusion before we wrap up this segment? What would you suggest?
Well, I think we want to be careful, and careful means careful hand washing. If you're going to gather indoors, if you have someone who's really vulnerable, someone in your family who has an autoimmune disease or has been treated for cancer, think about that mask to protect them. We also want to be thoughtful. Of course, if we sneeze or cough, cover your nose, cover your mouth, wash your hands afterwards.
Well, when we were all wearing masks, we didn't have much flu, did we?
That's exactly right. It was one of the things that made flu season the last 2 years a much lighter, easier season. There's also some other kinds of herbal remedies that we could talk about when we come back.
Yeah, why don't we do that? Let's take a break right here, talk about some of the herbal remedies that folks can take as a preventive for getting sick. We'll be right back.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com. Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rieto River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in Southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in Southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. This portion of the program presented by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. If you're thinking about, if you've got some time off over the holidays, How about a road trip? Only a 3-hour drive east of Tucson. So much to do, lots of outdoor activities, and some really nice places to stay in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Start your planning now by visiting southwestnewmexico.org. Our live line, our telephone interview is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We are talking about, well, the three viruses that are making the rounds right now, making life, well, for some people, very miserable. Dr. Victoria Mays is with us on the live line right now. Are there some strategies, Dr. Mays, perhaps some herbal remedies that could build up our immune system so maybe we can avoid getting these viruses?
Yes, and there are, and I'd like to talk about them, but I actually do want to remind people that one of the most effective tools we have is vaccination.
Ah.
And so there is a flu vaccine. I want to say I think it's quite effective because I helped take care of my little granddaughter when she had the flu. She sneezed directly on me. She did not cover her mouth or nose.
No. No.
And I did not get sick. And I attribute that to having had the flu vaccine. So that is something to think about. When you get the flu vaccine, this may surprise some of your listeners, it works better if you get it in the morning. Our immune system is smarter. It's more efficient when it gets a flu vaccine in the morning, as much as 3 times more effective. Also, if you exercise your arm a little bit before you get it, there's more blood flow to the arm, and that makes the vaccine take better. And lastly, it's really good to have had a good night's sleep before you get it. It works better if you've had a good night's sleep. And that's probably true for all vaccines, but it's mostly been tested in the flu vaccine. We also have a COVID vaccine, and that's something to consider, or a COVID booster if you're, you know, up to date on your COVID vaccines. There's a new booster. So yes, there are quite a few remedies that one can take. One of my favorite is elderberry. It is a berry. It is yummy.
Mm-hmm.
If you like berries, it's sweet. It's a syrup or a lozenge, and it tastes good. Sometimes it's combined with zinc. Zinc is a little metallic, so it doesn't taste quite as good unless you combine it with something. And zinc also helps prevent you from getting sick and shortens the duration of your sickness. So I really like the combination of zinc, elderberry, lozenges, and it's something that I use if I have been exposed, sometimes when I'm flying on an airplane, or, you know, if I do feel myself coming down with something, I get on that zinc right away to try to shorten the duration.
I've been taking those zinc and elderberry lozenges every day, kind of as a preventive. I don't know if I'm overdoing it, but probably can't hurt.
Well, that is one of the things that we recommended as a prevention from COVID. And so I don't think it can hurt if you're taking the relatively low dose. Those zinc lozenges have just 5 milligrams of zinc, which is quite a small amount. You don't want to take more than 50 milligrams. So 10 of them a day, for example, for a long period of time, because if you take it for a long time, there's some suggestion that it can suppress the immune system. But at the 5 milligrams, 10 milligrams, 15, so like up to 3 lozenges a day, that's just totally fine.
Child care, some of these child care centers are, some have compared them to petri dishes, especially troublesome this time of year, Dr. Mazes.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a tough one. You know, many parents use child care to help care for their children while they're at work. And you know, I think more than half of the children under 5 in the United States are attending some kind of child care center. And kids have exactly the wrong kinds of behavior for preventing illness. They like to touch everything. They stick things in their mouth. They're not good at hand washing. They're just, you know, it's not part of their awareness. It's not something they've learned to do yet. And so they're really good at spreading things. Also, their immune systems are still developing. So they haven't necessarily developed as much immunity as an adult would have. And so the child care centers, it's really up to the staff to do everything they can, from, you know, having the kids wash their hands after going to the bathroom and before and after eating, or if they're dirty. You know, hand sanitizer, not as good as hand washing, but on the other hand, it tastes yucky, so then you don't really want to put your hands in your mouth.
Yeah.
It is recommended that kids get flu vaccines, so that can help prevent it from kids. And then there's actually a service that we have here in the state of Arizona. They're child care health consultants. And these are licensed health care professionals who work with child care centers to do their best to ensure the health of children.
I kind of wanted to circle back to the prevention strategies. We mentioned elderberry and zinc. We have not talked about vitamin C. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, you know, people have a little bit of argument about vitamin C and, you know, where the research stands in terms of preventing colds. I'm on the side of, I think that it may help and can't hurt.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you take huge doses of vitamin C, maybe it could hurt. I particularly like Emergency, which is a 1,000 milligrams of vitamin C, and it's mixed usually with a little bit of other vitamins and minerals. And it also, in the nature of putting it in water, you're increasing your fluid intake, which is also a good thing to do. So I think that vitamin C is something that, you know, we certainly can include. Speaking about increasing fluids, both by drinking fluids, but also better humidifiers, and humidification is also helpful in terms of reducing the likelihood of becoming sick with a viral infection.
Emergency should be taken when? If you wake up maybe a scratchy throat, is it too late for the emergency, or should it be taken as a preventive?
Well, I think, like I said, the studies are kind of mixed. And I am in favor of, you know, doing some of both. I think in general, the sooner you get on top of these symptoms, the sooner you either take Tamiflu if you're doing the medication, or add zinc if you're trying to reduce the duration, or begin to eat some freshly pressed garlic on a salad, like in a salad dressing, or mixed in with a little soft cheese, you know, on a piece of toast, they work better. So the sooner you get on top of the symptoms, the more likely the things that you're doing are going to have some benefit. Other things that can be helpful, gargling with salt water. If you have a sore throat, that'll shrink the swelling in your throat and often make it less painful to swallow. Honey, some tea with honey, or even just a little bit of plain honey is going to soothe the back of your throat. Honey is also a pretty good cough suppressant. And we don't recommend honey to children under the age of one, but after the age of one, that's the easiest medicine you're ever going to get them to take, because it tastes delicious. So if you have a small child who's having trouble sleeping at night because of a cough, giving them a teaspoon of honey can be really helpful. I also like sinus rinses. Sometimes people get very congested in their nasal passages and their sinuses, and you can either use a neti pot or you can buy a Neil Med sinus rinse. I think the latter is a bit easier. They sell them at all the different drugstores, and they have little packets that have some salt and baking soda, which makes it not burn so much. And you know, boil some water, you let it cool, so you're not putting boiling water, but kind of warm water, and you squirt it in your nose, and it helps get all of the mucus out. And you breathe more easily, you'll sleep more easily, you'll have less post-nasal drainage as you sleep, which means you'll cough less. So those are some other recommendations.
All right. Very good recommendations. Dr. Mazes, hope you have a great holiday season. We will certainly talk to you in the new year. Thank you.
Thank you, and best wishes to everybody for a healthy and happy new year.
All right. I second that. Second the motion. Thanks a lot, Dr. Mazes. All right. On behalf of Dr. Mazes, John Engineering, and producing our program, Bill Buckmaster saying we will do it all over again in about 23 hours. Hope everybody has a healthy and safe afternoon.